Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Hello, my sweet pleasure seekers. Oh, guys, we're having a conversation tonight, and for some of you, this might be intimidating. For some of you, this might be right up your alley. We're going to be talking all about, there's some taboo things in the world when it comes to sex and bodies and everything like that. And tonight we're going to be talking about kink and healing through taboo desires. And just in case you guys have been avid listeners for a really long time, you might realize that today is the 11th anniversary on the nose day to my very, very first episode where I remember where I actually had produced it. We didn't have video for the podcast at the time like we do now. And I'd been a guest on somebody else's show, which was a different vibe than having my own show and talking for an entire hour. And I was scared out of my wits. If you go back and listen to that very first episode, I wonder if you can hear the difference. And it just goes to show, like, you know, the more you practice, the more you do things, hopefully, in theory, you should become more comfortable and be able to really lean into your expertise more. So today on this topic, on the Pleasure Zone with kink and healing through taboo desires, just want you to sit and think for a minute. If there was ever a time in your life where, you know, you had desires, especially sexual desires, that you felt were so scary to even talk about, like maybe you never even wanted anybody to know. Maybe it was something that now looking back for you was just so completely simple that it becomes everyday conversation. And the reason why I say that is because I remember growing up, even into my 20s, there was quite a lot of shame around women and masturbation. And I don't think ever in my teenage years or even in my early 20s did I have discussions with friends about masturbation. And now, and I don't think it's an age thing, I think it's more of the ages and like the sense of comfort, but also just the day and age that we're in where the conversations are more open about that, that now it's just like, you know, daily conversations with my bestie about like, hey, what were you up to this morning? Oh yeah, you just stroked one out. Cool. Yeah, that's just like a normal conversation when we have a chance to talk. That's often what we talk about. So, or, you know, show each other our favorite toys, that sort of thing. So the funniest thing is that there are some really simple taboo things that we think are taboo that are out there that are desires that, you know, we hold on to and we really like make them kind of like almost scary for us to talk about. And when you do, and you let that cat out of the bag, all of a sudden, you can have conversations with more people, your world opens up, your fears disappear. It's not like you have a fear of being caught with your pants down, because you just pulled your pants down, and everybody got to know that you pulled your pants down. So when you think about what taboo things are, usually they're the things that society says are naughty, whether it's society or you believe them yourself. Maybe you never even heard society say anything about them, but maybe your kinks or desires are so specific that there isn't a lot of conversation on your specific kink. which would make it quite taboo, which would make your desires taboo, which would mean essentially that your feelings are taboo. And if your feelings are taboo, then sometimes what we think, as people, or I know I've thought, well, if my feelings are taboo, that must make me weird. I'm a weirdo. And I hear all the time reports of people, especially in the small town I live in, like I hear reports of people saying, so and so says you're weird. I'm like, tell me who doesn't, because it's easier to point out the people in a town of less than 1,000 who, A, either don't know me, so they don't know I'm weird, or they do know me and go, oh, you're just as weird as me, so how does that count as weird? And then there's the whole other bunch too. So taboo is, something very individual in terms of the way that you interpret your desires or what you'd like to do, or your life. There's a lot of taboo that can be things that we hide about what we might enjoy, behaviors that might be out of the norm or weird. So, how can we utilize these sort of taboo things, these kinky taboo things that we enjoy to heal ourselves? And one of the ways is that we, as we acknowledge things, it's like when you acknowledge anything that you're hiding from yourself about yourself, and let's use addiction as an example. If you have, say, if you're an alcoholic and you're in denial of being an alcoholic, and you're hiding, you think you're hiding it from yourself. So you're drinking quietly every day, but and out of control, but you can't admit it to you. And you can't admit it to others. And addictions are kind of taboo still, even though mental health conversation is a lot bigger than it was 20 years ago. It's a lot bigger than it even was when I first started this show. So when we look at something like addiction and alcoholism, then the taboo would be, this person has an addiction. And then to come out to the world, and that's usually something they A, hide from themselves and then hide from others. So it's also like your desires, things that you might hide from yourself or others, are so secret that you sometimes have to do self-evaluation in order to figure out what it is that that you do desire. And sometimes it can take a lifetime of discovery to find out what your true desires are outside of what you've been told they should be. Because we definitely get told what's appropriate and not appropriate to enjoy. And those things that are not appropriate to enjoy are pretty taboo. So, how do we move forward? So, number one, just like in alcoholism, is just acknowledge that there is something going on with alcoholism. It's to acknowledge that you're an alcoholic, that you have a problem with drinking. With kinks, it's like to acknowledge that you have a desire. Whether you want to follow through on it or not, sometimes it's just fantasy, but you have a desire. So acknowledging that is number one. And when you can acknowledge something, it can create a sense of peace and ease in your being, your body, your mind. And that peace can start to help heal you and allow you to feel more whole. And I had an interesting several conversations today that all there was a congruency with all the clients today, the client friends, and they all were talking about feeling like fragmented. And there is a body of work related to trauma that talks about being fragmented, and there's different names for the aspects of you that are fragmented out, and there are ways to kind of recuperate those. But that sense of being fragmented too, and not feeling whole. So, part of those things is like as you start to acknowledge the things that you really enjoy, that you love, and sometimes it's asking for those things you would like, that's kind of like a reclaiming. It starts to integrate more into your body, your being, yourself, and you start to feel more all of you rather than fragmented. So if you've been feeling fragmented, maybe there are parts of you that you're completely ignoring to the point where it feels like you've rejected an aspect of yourself. And maybe now's the time to look at it. Look at it with like fresh eyes and curious eyes rather than, oh, that part of me is so wrong and bad. I should never have even, I can't even look at it because if I do and I acknowledge that's part of me, then there's definitely something wrong with me and I'm wrong and bad. But that's not really it, is it? So if you acknowledge that part of you and you're like, wow, okay, I have this like kinky desire. I have many kinky desires, but I thoroughly love spanking. So when I actually could see that, and that anything that I had that was like denying that or hiding that, or that was making it wrong or weird, or I had a lot of different points of view around it. But when I started to be able to look at it and go, hi, you desire, aren't you fascinating? You know, haven't explored you. And I hadn't explored that part of myself or my desires because I wasn't in relationships everywhere. I felt safe enough that I could say that and either not be judged or not be highly overly sexualized for it. So if there, I had been with someone at one point who, like, anytime I had even a remote desire for something, it became so over the top sexualized that it became a turn off. So what I just needed was the space to say, hey, this looks fun. Can we try this? And open the door and start to acknowledge that part. It was like, oh, what can I do with that? So, for example, spanking with impact play can, for me, what it does is it really helps to calm my nervous system down. Whether it's like the action of rocking forward, which is a kind of action that's used also for getting your body to start to release trauma, it activates different parts of the parasympathetic nervous system to calm down, getting out of the sympathetic response and into the parasympathetic. And not parasympathetic like overdrive, where you're in froze mode, but freezing mode. You're more like parasympathetic and calm. So sometimes those rocking motions, just like the rocking of when you're a child, like rocking in a rocking chair, being rocked by somebody who holds you in a way that's comforting and secure, that rocking motion can be amazing for calming down the nervous system and helping you feel secure. So that in itself can be healing, right? So we look at our desires, and sometimes we don't know why we desire them. Like, I didn't know why I was like interested in spanking, and I could have gone to a therapist who could have broken it down and said, well, you know, maybe you need some authority figure in your life to do blah, 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 so that, and there is something about letting go for sure, but it doesn't mean that there's like some part of me that's so messed up that I need that to survive. But if you can look at it instead and go, is there a part of me that could receive healing from this? And if your body is like, oh, yeah, wow, yes, actually, yes, then it is, you know, a great time to start to explore that. You could start to explore it with yourself just to see what it's like to even. You know, if you're kind of interested in impact play, and it's kind of hard to spank your own bum sometimes, I don't know, on the right angle that you might like. But you can just start with even impact on your own hand and see what it like, how much do you actually like the impact? Like, do you like it stinging? Do you like it more soft? Do you like it? Depends. Like, there's a lot of different texture to this, that, and with what, right? So there might be paddles or whips or different things that you might be using. Maybe it's just a wooden spoon, but it'll create a bit of a sensation that might have a little stinging effect. And that too will actually bring, you know, blood to the area. So the more blood that's rushing to an area that's had impact will also, so you increase blood flow. That also, if you've got that going right into your groin, now you're increasing blood flow to your entire genital area. If you're doing it in areas that are packed with nerves, that's going to also impact the nerves. So if we're doing all these things that are affecting the body and that are so taboo, first we need to wrap our head around, for me, and maybe for you guys too, I needed to wrap my head around that being okay and that I was safe. And that I knew that I was in control of the situation and I could stop it at any time that I felt was too much, right? So having safe words in place. So we're going to head off to our first commercial break. We're going to come back and talk about how things that are taboo can actually be quite healing. And I'd love to hear from you guys, you know, comment in the comment section or send me an email. If you have something taboo that you're having a hard time talking about or acknowledging and you just need to be witnessed in it, absolutely connect with me and happy to give you 15 minutes of my time. It can be incredibly freeing to be able to just get and say certain things that are so taboo that you desire to just get it off your chest and say it. And own it. And then as you own it, you can reclaim yourself, those aspects of yourself that you've been hiding. And that's empowering, right? So that's the target, is to be empowered through this. You will probably be surprised how much it benefits you and your body and your whole life. It opens doors in ways I think I never quite thought were possible. So we're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are talking about healing and empowerment through our taboo desires. And a lot of times I would think that a lot of times people just go through life and keep a lot of things secret and hidden because they don't feel like there's a safe place to say what their desires are, or they don't trust themselves enough to know, or they don't trust others enough to know that they'll be safe. So kink and healing through taboo desires is, I think, an untapped resource of healing. And I know there's lots of people who practice really cool different things when it comes to sex and intimacy. And that has to do with like things like relationship building and all of that. And then there's the fundamental to me that sex is ultimately healing. And intimacy is ultimately a way to heal ourselves and heal the people around us. The more we know about ourselves, the more we have the ability to communicate what we require, what we desire, what our feelings are. Wow. So I have 710 episodes or some. Wow. Crazy. That just popped up on my awareness. So the more that we can tap into these aspects of ourselves that we've been avoiding and bring those to the table. It'll heal relationships. It'll heal not just intimate relationships. It'll heal all kinds of relationships. The freedom to show up and be you. So why and how does kink play into this? Kink is just like that, often that thing that people avoid. So I think for the most part, most people have something that is just on the edge of vanilla. And whether that isn't a lot or whether that's, and honestly, vanilla is such an interesting description because I think there's such a spectrum of vanilla as well. Maybe I'll do show on the spectrum of vanilla because, you know, it can even be the definition of what is like average sex these days has changed dynamically. The more that research has come out on how much of sexuality and sexual expression is just like vast, and it's the way that we express ourselves. So I think that information is not only is it becoming more accessible, also the taboo of it maybe is changing, and the whole concept of vanilla I think is also changing. That's where I was going with that. So when it comes to kink, and it comes to BDSM, and it comes to fetishes, and like, what is the difference, and what makes something that is kinky playful different than kink for healing? And we're going to simplify this really simply. It's what you as the players bring to the table. So if as players in this game of healing and sex, if you bring to the table the intention that you're just doing this solely for the idea of having your bodies experience something, say for example it's spanking and all you just want is a spank till your bum turns red, then that's what you'll put behind it. You might include costumes, you might include all kinds of other things, paddles and play and whatever. Great. Then you could take it to another level where you're like, you know what, the intention is that I am in this experience in order to heal. And whether that's to empower the person who's receiving to heal, maybe they had a lot of corporal punishment as a child and they want to be able to be in a position where they are in control, where they can say stop when they no longer want it. It can be healing. You know, a lot of kink can be incredibly healing for things that are especially things that have you feel like you're out of control in situations. So, you know, whether it's out of control with urinating, whether it's out of control with being spanked, whether it's out of control, like being tied up, you know, all of those different ways that we might have experienced traumas, we can literally flip those traumas on their heads and utilize similar energy with the intent and with the energy of healing behind it to start to reconcile that stuff and start to have your body be able to release it and change it and not respond in the same way and not hold all that trauma and not have your nervous system on nonstop shock and fight or flight. Let's take some deep breaths on that one, because you get that energy is really big. It's a really big concept that you could walk into a session with somebody, whether it's a partner, a longtime partner, just a playful friend, whether it's a professional in the field of using kink for healing. And you could walk into a session with somebody and experience something that may have felt traumatic to you when you were young, like a being spanked or something, because you know, that was your parents' idea of, you know, discipline. So that, you know, you like are trying to heal some of that and maybe had a lot of corporal punishment. So you maybe really have maybe at first an aversion to it, which is what I had, an aversion to it, until I realized that, wow, I could flip this on its head. and I could use it to my advantage to heal the European discipline I had from my dad growing up. So my dad didn't like beat me to a pulp or anything, but if you ever grew up around anybody in a European household who was like born in the 1930s or 40s, whose main knowledge about how to discipline children came from their parents who were, you know, traumatized by several wars within 20 years, they used a lot of corporal punishment. And whether that was so when I was growing up, what we had, and it this never actually got used on me, but the threat of it was really scary. My dad hit me on my butt when I was little, and that was the discipline that 99% of my friends had. I had friends who got hit with wooden spoons, and nowadays if you hear that, it would be like, oh my God, that's really bad, right? Like, we don't think of that as acceptable anymore. And so when I was little, being threatened with what in Serbian is called a prut, which is a willow branch that's whittled down into a whip. And that whip, although it was never used, was really scary to even be around. And nowadays, in order to flip the story on that and the fear, because the inner child still responds in fear to those things, or did, and now it's like flip the story, and now I can be in charge of, even though I might be the one being spanked, I'm still the one in charge of how and when it happens. It's the funny thing to be in a position as a sub, because you literally are the one in charge, even though it appears that the dom is in charge. It's quite the flip story. So when we look at some of the traumas we've had, whether it's like things like embarrassment too, that was another one for me, feeling shame and embarrassment around, a lot of it was like being caught in like awkward positions where you're like naked and you just don't want people to acknowledge it or see it, or it's embarrassing. I had numerous times in my life where that happened. And so the weirder part is the taboo fantasy is, for me, is a lot of it is very exhibitionist, like doing things that are public. And even though there was trauma connected to that, doing things that are public now, not that I'm going to get, you know, out there fully and get arrested, but if it was like, say, like a demo on stage, like what a great fantasy to be able to do that, or, you know, to be observed somehow and seen as, instead of being teased about it, being seen and revered for it is so sexy to me. So we can take these traumas and we can flip them. So my thought to you is to like contemplate that. Is there a trauma that you feel you are so deeply connected to that it almost makes part of your identity, that maybe if you were to flip it on its head would give you freedom? Freedom of expression, freedom to love yourself. Ooh, there's some energy on that, kids. So what kind of power dynamics do you like? Are you into power dynamics? And what kind of sensations do you enjoy? Do you like hot or cold play? Do you like stinging? Do you like being bound? What are some of the things that you like that are kind of secret to you? And I encourage you to write them down just for you, just for fun, or even just acknowledge them, be like, you know what? I actually kind of secretly like spanking, or I actually secretly kind of like being bound, which can be an amazing thing for resetting the nervous system as well. Nervous system regulation is one of the top-notch things when you're using kink or any taboo play for healing, right? So again, the difference between using kink for healing and using kink for like especially using kink for healing trauma, or the difference between that and just doing it for the sake of play and pleasure, is the energy the players bring to it. I just call them players in this scenario because you'll have different roles that you're playing, right? So who are the players? Who's the dom? Who's the sub? What's going on? Are you flip-flopping? Are you mixing it up? So something to think about. So we're going to head to our next commercial break, and you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are talking about taboo things like healing and kink for healing our, you know, things like traumas and different things. You know, and when I think about even healing things, it could be, this might sound really odd, but like say your shoulder hurts, right? But if you get kind of moved or stretched in ways that are, they might even appear a bit kinky, like if you're kind of turned on by having extreme stretching, because there are people who are very turned on by extreme stretching, and they, you know, likely get involved in a lot of things like yoga classes. So they're watching other people have extreme stretching. If you ever see like medieval torture chambers, any of those tools that were in medieval torture chambers, like stretch tables and stuff. If you never watched Princess Bride, there's something in Princess Bride where the guy gets stretched. Anyhow, that's a side note. So being stretched can absolutely be kinky. And I know I've worked on people who thoroughly get turned on by being stretched, and good for them. I love that works for them. How cool is that? So if you know, that does turn you on, you could even use it for being able to like stretch pain out of your body, physical pain where it's like maybe your hip is out of place, but then you get moved in the right way and it gets put back in. So you might even think outside the box in terms of kink on that too. Like things like stretching that could physically literally heal your body. And, you know, working on that emotional component of healing things that were like past traumas, emotional things that had gone on in your life that you're reclaiming and taking back so you can empower yourself. Absolutely healing. It heals on the emotional level, which calms the nervous system, regulates the nervous system. When the nervous system is calm, then guess what? You reconnect with yourself, with your body. You can become more aware of your body. So your eating habits change, your heart rate is more regulated, your digestion is regulated, your body heals. Your body heals when you're calm. So doing different things to facilitate getting as much of the tension and stress out through different forms of somatic movement even can be both really healing and can be super sexy. Like if you think about when people are doing couples yoga and they're stretching together and having their bodies like intertwine and do fascinating and beautiful things, as much as it's beautiful and probably turns them on, it's also going to really help their bodies to have more flexibility, more blood flow, help the nervous system be regulated through different things like the movement itself and breath work through that too. So why do I care about this so much? I'm sure that's a question people are like, get on to the sexy, but to me, this part is the sexy part, is being able to reconnect with your body so that you can be present to experience all the things that are actually going on, especially those things where when your body starts to get into the zone and this like zone of just there's a saying in Japanese, and I'm probably going to bastardize this because I only learned it from like my martial arts instructor who was not Japanese. But the term was Mushin Noshin, the mind of no mind. It's where you kind of get into this state where everything just, it's like your body moves without you thinking. There's no thought involved, and it's just space. Space, it's change, it's like things just occur, and you're in total calm the whole time. So if you've never experienced it, I think some people try and experience it with different drugs, but you can absolutely achieve that through different practices, you know, if you're willing to be diligent about practicing things for until you can achieve that. So yeah. So I think too, what we need to do in order to have our bodies feel like connected and to feel, I don't know, like we're on the road to using, you know, more of our sex life for healing, is to look at the things that we're avoiding. And one of the things I see people avoid a lot, and this is really weird, is breathing. So I often I'm like, okay, breathe, breathe out, and that'll make you breathe in. So when you breathe out, your body automatically starts to want to breathe in. So connecting to breath, even though that sounds nothing about it sounds sexy, there's breath play that's incredibly kinky, whether it's asphyxiation, holding your breath, autoerotic asphyxiation, you doing that to yourself. If you are doing anything that involves choking of any kind, it is incredibly dangerous. So if you are thinking that that's a practice you want to do, I think the number one thing to do is learn breath control. And you can use different breathing techniques in order to learn breath control. So practicing breath holds is one thing that you can do. If you're not familiar with the Wim Hof method, there's like an app you can get on your phone for like less than $20. I don't remember what I paid for my app. And you know, you'll go through breath holds and you can hold your breath for, you know, a couple minutes or whatever. And that will help with that whole sensation that you get from erotic or autoerotic asphyxiation, the lack of oxygen going to the brain. You get a little bit woozy. You get a little bit, things start to redirect, keep your body alive. And it can be intense, a really intense experience, as well as when the blood flow does start to come in back when you breathe out. And then you get the rush of the blood flow, your body starts to feel a lot different, like tingling sensations and different things. People experience it in different ways, but I tend to feel it as tingling. And it can be quite a turn on. So even though it looks like you're just like practicing healing methods, learning how to do somatic breath work, learning how to do body work, learning all these things, can all add to your super kinky healing in terms of things like learning how to breath hold is very much in line with all erotic and autoerotic asphyxiation, which is when you're ch like choking is the other term for it, choking, self-choking or others choking you. And things like binding your body. And there's methods where people will healing methods that are not like kink based, where you will get wrapped into, well, sometimes people just wrap you for a detox, but then there's also wraps where you get wrapped in like big blankets. So it's like a feeling of being in the womb, and you might be in different positions where you then get wrapped up or held tightly so that your body can just let go. But you could take that to the next level and add things like ropes or other kinds of ties so that you have that similar sensation of being super snug. And so then when you get that super snug sensation, it's like when you're wearing pants that are too tight and then you just want to like try and breathe, but your body can't breathe beyond the pants. So there is like a feeling of like pushing, but also feels highly supported, sometimes too tight, depending on the pants of the day. But you can start to feel like the support of everything that is the bind, right? Whether it's a blanket or ties or rope. And then you can just feel that like your body relaxes into that and kind of pushes into it and can just let go. So it's good stuff, guys. I know that it might sound intimidating, but also, if you are highly intimidated by this, start with you. I was talking to another client a little while ago, and that's what it was like there's a fascination with stuff, but then there's also a fear with it. So in that fear fascination zone, try it with you first. And, you know, make sure that if you are tying yourself up for the first time, I go for the legs, like tie your own legs up. You can even watch videos on YouTube that will specifically show you how to tie in beautiful ways. It's really artistic. And so, you know, tie up your legs to your knees and make sure that it's a knot that's easy to undo. And just in case, have surgical scissors available so that, you know, if you do start to cut off circulation or something in your legs, that you can tie yourself up. There's also ways that you can bind your own hands and then you can unbind them. But when you bind them, you know, when you bind them kind of tightly on your own, you won't get stuck in it. But if somebody else binds you in it, you could get stuck in it and they'd have to tie you off, just because when you bind yourself in them, it's just a bunch of, it's like a wrap. There's a wrapping like a wrap method. Don't know if I ever created a video for that, but maybe I will. And that might be a resource available on my site of like how to actually bind your own hands and your own legs in a safe way. So that's something that you guys can play with. If that's something you're interested in, write in the comments below that you would like some of those kinds of videos, just like the tie me up videos, like hashtag tie me up. And then I'll know who's interested in having those videos. And if I get enough requests, I'm happy to create that content for you guys to have access to on my website. So let me know, hashtag tie me up. And so not all resources where you watch the show have comments, but if you're listening on a place where you can't comment, if you can just send me an email through my website, milicajelenic.com, that's my name, MilicaJelenic.com, for those of you who are just listening and not watching. So all of this can be empowering because you know what? It's all choice and you're choosing it and then you can unchoose it. And the more you get that you have choice, the more empowered you'll feel. The more you make choices and then know that you're not obligated to stick to it, like you can choose something else, the more likely you're going to feel empowered to even make that first choice. A lot of times people are afraid to make the first choice because they think they have to stick with it forever. I mean, I made the choice to have this show 11 years ago, and I honestly thought I was going to have like 8 episodes and have no content after that. I was like, sure, I'll do 2 months. And then I kept going and I kept going. And never in a million years, 11 years ago, would I have thought that I would be here this long and still have something that to say about it and still get excited to say things, because there's always more information coming. There's always cool sex researchers. There's always cool sexologists and sex therapists coming up with interesting methods. And I love referencing them and checking out their work. And I think I'm going to be one of those guys one day too. You know, I think I'm going to be one of those guys who has those resources that are unique. And it feels like the thing I've been building towards my whole life. And I have no idea what it is, but man, when I figure that out, or when it just kind of pops into my awareness, I am going to be so freaking thrilled to share it with you guys. So until then, man, if you have ideas for me, I'd love to hear it and I can develop them. But a lot of this stuff for me comes down to what can I do for my body first, that I can heal me, that I can admit to myself, like we talked about in the first segment. The first kind of step is to like admit that that's something you desire. And also, if you've been enjoying this show, whether you enjoyed it in the past, walked away for a while, coming back to it, if you've been enjoying it, especially this episode, please go give Inspired Choices Network specifically on iTunes. Just go on there. And if you look up the Pleasure Zone, you can go give me a 5-star. Also, if you're listening on any platforms, by all means, just if you can like, comment, and share, I love that. I appreciate it. It keeps me going. And my own personal YouTube, I don't do a lot on. But if you can follow Inspired Choices Network, that would be great. If you can, you know, share my shows, share my clips, all of that. I love that and super appreciate that. So we're going to head to the next commercial break. And we come back, we're going to wrap this show up with a few ideas of more ideas. I don't know. These are just kind of popping in my head as I talk to you guys. Little images come in, so I'm sharing them with you. So we'll be right back. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. It has been an interesting, fun, and eventful show in terms of, I kind of went, you know, off into storytelling zone, and sometimes I do that. I don't have scripts for this show, so you can imagine that sometimes, you know, after talking and things pop into your mind, that show maybe goes off track a little. I might have gone off track a little, guys. Sorry about that. But I think we did cover some of our basics tonight, like what kink really is and how it supports healing. I think we can cover that the difference between kink for sex and kink for healing is who and what you bring to the play. And also looking at how taboo desires can often point to different things like unmet and unresolved emotions, where I brought up the, you know, some of the stories about impact play and spanking and how that could help with feeling empowered and feeling like taking back control. And then, as per always, 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 consent is so important. Consent and being able to discuss things and have communication with your partner. So consent and communication. And conscious play, as well as curiosity, and, you know, all the great C words that we talk about on this show are so important. So, you know, going into the scenarios, right, going into the play and having the discussion beforehand, like, is this play for the sake of just like getting turned on and being able to turn each other on? And we're coming at it from like, you know, there might be more of an authoritarian dom energy rather than more of a nurturing dom energy with when it's healing. So it's very much what you bring to it. And even maybe even your whole atmosphere is different too. It might be softer, gentler when it's healing. There might be different music. There might even be different things in the environment that you're using too. So there is a lot to do with the energy, but it's also the whole environment can impact that as well. And then looking at it from a mindful perspective, like how can really help with even so being mindful, but which is partly about being present, it can really help with healing things that do have to do with our thoughts as well. So being able to heal, different things in our heads, like feeling out of control or never feeling like you have a say, using kink to flip that will also help to change the mindset. It's like, oh, now I am empowered. And it's like the affirmations, your body just like becomes the energy of the affirmations. So sometimes you don't even find yourself saying them. You just feel like there's a shift and you're like, wow, I feel empowered. I am empowered. Oh, I am empowerment. Ooh, cool. So one of the things I encourage is to like have fun with this. It can be healing, but it can also be incredibly fun and bring that energy of playfulness and fun, because play in itself is healing, especially for trauma. Be playful, be fun, and also have the communication and all the consent and the discussions around what kind of activities are going to be occurring, what kind of play is going to be occurring, what are the hard and soft limits. What are the safe words? We need all of those things. We need all of that in place. And then as you approach the scenario, make sure that you ask for feedback. Unless your partner is like gagged and you might not get verbal feedback. So you might have other signs of whether to move forward or not. But having feedback and checking in is much more of the approach you would use when you're using taboo kink play for healing, then it would be necessarily, although I would hope you would still use it just when it is kink based for the sake of pleasure, just for the sake of pleasure. So I think it is a very different energy when you're using it for healing and setting we'll say the intent, setting the scene is so important. Care, as in there's something called the care model, which is to communicate, to ask, to respect, and to explore. That is really also important when it comes to all things to do with kink play and like the negotiations and discussions, the communication. Right. So I talked a little bit about using like being present. That's part of the mindfulness, being able to even afterwards, do journaling and have discussions and talk about what happened, because maybe you cried or maybe you screamed or maybe you just got silent or something might have occurred emotionally. And having that conversation with your partner as an aftercare is really important too. And it's part of the mindful work to be really present enough to notice what's happening. So, guys, in this episode, there's been a lot of big energy where my body is just like, whoa, and I've wanted to have some deep breaths. And so if you're feeling that too, like if you're feeling a little bit like there's been like the whole concept of this might be a little daunting or overwhelming or like, why would I do it? Take some deep breaths. In for five, out for five. Get yourself present and ask those questions about like, what is there something I've been avoiding? Is there something I've been ashamed of? Admitting that I desire. Admit it to you first. Self-exploration first. Maybe it's, if you want to try any kink play, try it with you first. And even if it's like exhibitionism, that usually includes others, but use those scenarios in your head while you self-pleasure. Fantastic. Play with these things a bit until you feel confident, and then have the conversation with your play partner or partners, communicate all the things that you require and desire and your safe words and all of that. And then remember to, beforehand, I think it's really important to distinguish, is this, are we doing this for healing? Or are we doing this for something else? And if it's for healing, even include a little ceremony beforehand, maybe light some candles and ask for this to be a healing experience with ease, that sort of thing. Like you can do a lot of things that can add to the energy of it being a healing experience. So have
Thank
fun
you
with
for
that.
choosing to listen to the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central,
6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body. Your body.